You're listening to an Insight 18 special on Money Control.
Not that we need any more fault lines that we already have, but South India generates around half of the country's renewable energy power, and Telangana has crossed the 10 gigawatt demand. Just an interesting tidbit of information that came out of RenewX, and if you're asking what that is, well, that's an event that happened very recently over the weekend on the 13th of April to be precise, and RenewX is a B2B renewable energy expo. And if you're asking, wait a minute, is there enough happening in the renewable energy space for there to be expos on the subject? Well, clearly there is, and that's just why we bring you this podcast, this Insight 18 podcast on Money Control, that takes a good hard look at renewable energy in India.
Red hot for green, India's success with renewable energy, an Insight 18 special on Money Control.
You can hide all you want, but it's coming for you. April saw Friday the 13th. I was trying to add some spook into my voice, not working, but global warming is most certainly real. With temperatures rising, glaciers and polar ice sheets melting, and atmospheric carbon dioxide levels 35% higher than they've been in the last half a million years, there is no other reasonable conclusion to come to. There is now broad consensus regarding this, though there is more of a debate over whether it is man-made. With increasing energy needs, the move to green fuels to reduce greenhouse gases has been gathering momentum for years, and it has reached a culmination at the Paris climate talks in December 2015. Ever since Prime Minister Narendra Modi committed to renewable energy goals at the Paris climate talks, India has been on a mission to meet its green energy targets and also use the momentum to turn into an energy surplus state, and it is well on its way to succeeding. But first, here's a look at what has been happening in India's renewable scene. Just a couple of decades ago, it didn't appear that renewable energy was much more than a fervent hope, a nice idea, and perhaps something that the world needed to move to. Production costs were high and technology was still at a more or less, you know, incipient stage. For instance, take solar power. In 2000, it cost the equivalent of about $7 to produce a watt of power. Even in 2008, the cost was more than $3. In 2015, it had crashed to about 30 cents to produce a watt of power. The same with wind power, the other main component of alternative or green fuel. Let's cut to the present and to an unprecedented happening. In 2017, the total solar power capacity added across the world was 98 gigawatts, more than coal, gas, and nuclear power put together, according to Nils Stieglitz, the president of the Frankfurt School of Finance and Management. If you take renewables as a whole, 157 gigawatts of additional capacity was commissioned in 2017. The situation now is that both wind and solar power are cheaper than traditionally cheapest coal-based power. After more or less stagnating for decades, both solar and wind power are now real and practical alternatives to traditional methods of generating power. And we're asking what those are? Well, coal, nuclear, hydro, and gas. It has been a veritable revolution in the last 1 year especially.
This is an Insight 18 special on Money Control.
Let's rewind a bit now to Paris in December 2015. Paris anytime is actually a good place to visit, but let's go back to Paris in December 2015. Well, till the Paris Climate Agreement happened, India had been kind of reticent to committing to aggressive targets because that would be disadvantageous to India. India, with its large population, would naturally be power hungry, but demand was kept somewhat in control because India has traditionally been also frugal in its energy consumption. In 2013, for instance, when the United States of America had a per capita energy consumption of 13,394 units per year, China had 2,944 and the world average was 2,977, India was at an exceedingly modest 879 units. By 2016, however, India's per capita consumption had moved to 1,122 units per year. A fast-growing economy accompanied by an increase in overall prosperity would mean an increasing appetite, fulfilling which would require large annual increases in power generation. And of course, that would get stuck if we started scaling down on traditional or dirty means of generating power. As a result, installed capacities in renewables increased slower than expected. The signing of the Paris Accord was a decisive step in the move towards renewable and green energy options. The commitment was to have 40% of the energy to be produced from non-fossil fuel sources by 2030. It was quite a challenging goal, requiring rapid scaling up of the installed capacity in renewable energy, since at that time, India was the fourth largest contributor to atmospheric carbon after the USA, China, and the European Union. So what has happened in the last 2 years since Paris? Well, in two words, substantial progress. 2 years have been good for India. On the back of the buffer of cheap oil and with better technology and falling prices, India has managed to nearly treble the installed capacity of solar power. In the last 2 years, since the end of 2015, installed solar generation capacity has gone from about 3 gigawatts to about 12 gigawatts. Where wind energy is concerned, capacity grew by 3.6 gigawatts in 2016.
Red Hot for Green, India's success with renewable energy. An Insight 18 special on Money Control.
According to the National Institute of Wind Energy, the wind power potential in the country, essentially in the states of Andhra, Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, Gujarat and Rajasthan, is over 302 gigawatts. By the end of 2017, the installed capacity of renewable energy stood at over 60 gigawatts. Wind accounted for 32 gigawatts and solar was at 17 gigawatts. With this, renewable power capacity now constitutes more than 18% of the total installed capacity, and it is slated to increase further in the coming years. Bloomberg New Energy Finance had estimated that by 2020, solar power capacity would be at 37 gigawatts. India had an aggressive target to achieve 175 gigawatts of renewable energy by 2022, out of which 100 gigawatts would come from solar. However, the climate has been favorable, and a couple of months ago, New and Renewable Energy Secretary Anand Kumar stated that this would be achieved well before the target date. At Pavagada in Tumkur district of Karnataka, the world's largest solar park is coming up briskly and will have a capacity of a humongous 2 gigawatt when complete. So, how did we manage to get things right for once? How come we managed to get here so soon? Well, one of the reasons for this agreeable state of affairs is the fall of prices of solar panels. India is the country that is growing at the fastest rate of expansion in solar capacity. The largest market, that's China, seems to have peaked and is on a slightly downward slope. So are the other countries such as the USA, Japan and Germany. In fact, by the end of 2017, India was the third in the world in installed solar capacity, overtaking Japan. In wind, India's place was fourth globally. Consulting firm Ernst & Young also concluded that India was the second best market to invest in renewable energy in 2017 after China. Anyway, with the peaking in capacity around the world, prices have fallen by up to 30% over 2016 and 17. With installed capacity growing and India too becoming a power surplus nation in 2017, the auctions for solar parks around the country have been seeing unprecedented low bids for tariffs. For instance, in May 2018, the auction at the Bhadla Solar Park in Rajasthan near the Thar Desert saw bids come down to 2 rupees 44 paise per kilowatt hour. The bidders were Gurgaon-based Acme Solar Holdings Private Limited for production of 200 megawatts. Another quote was for 300 megawatts at a slightly higher 2 rupees 45 paise per unit from SBG Cleantech One Limited, a joint venture between, okay, this is important, Japan's SoftBank, India's Bharti Enterprises and Taiwan's Foxconn.
You're listening to an Insight 18 special on Money Control.
So much for solar. What about wind? Well, could wind be far behind the sun? Not really. At an auction in Gujarat in December 2017, wind reaped a record tariff bid of 2 rupees 43 paise, that's 1 paisa less than solar, for a unit. This is unbelievably lower, a lot lower than even the National Thermal Power Corporation's coal-based power. NTPC sells electricity at 3 rupees 20 paise per unit, so it's official. Renewable energy in the form of solar and wind power is now cheaper than traditional coal-based thermal power by up to 25%. This record-breaking bid was from Spring Energy Private Limited, without the I, by the way, based in Pune, and set up by Actis Fund Managers. They have ambitious plans and an aggressive target of setting up 2 gigawatt of installed capacity in renewable energy in the form of solar and wind by year 2020. Mergers and acquisitions are also on the way. Earlier this month, Renew Power acquired Austro Energy in what was rumored to be a 10,000 crore rupee deal. And this would make Renew the largest renewable energy company in India with a capacity of about 5.6 gigawatt in solar and wind. Besides, NTPC and corporates such as Reliance Power and Adani Power have got into alternative energy as well, and both have wind and solar projects running in several states across the country.
Red Hot for Green, India's success with renewable energy. An Insight 18 special on Money Control.
Surely though, there have to be a few ifs and buts. So now let's look at what these ifs and buts are. Indeed, there are problems that keep cropping up. Solar farms especially require a lot of land and should ideally also be set up in places that get a lot of sunlight throughout the year. Such requirements can and do cause problems. The Kamuthi Solar Park near Madurai has faced a controversy over allegations of its usage of scarce groundwater for its maintenance. Land acquisitions has sometimes brought its own problems, like adequate and timely compensation to the landowners. But the Pavagada farm in Karnataka is a good example of a cooperative approach. The landowners, mainly farmers, were offered the option of leasing their land for the project. Now, that kind of leaves everyone in a good place, doesn't it? So the question is, are we now in for really clean and really cheap power? Interesting part of the podcast. Clean and cheap may not be a combination that can be that easily maintained. With the low prices that are floating around, margins for the producers are likely to be thin. There are concerns that intense competition and expectation of equipment prices falling further have brought about these ultra-low bids, and the quoted rates may not be sustainable. According to an analyst at Reliance Securities, setting up 1 megawatt of solar capacity could cost about 6 crore rupees, and there are no profits to be made at the rates of less than 3 rupees per kilowatt hour. Similarly, in wind, prices have fallen essentially because of windmill equipment prices coming down, and also because of all of the action in the auction scene.
This is an Insight 18 special on Money Control.
With the revival of the wind energy scene, manufacturers are desperate to win orders. But analysts say that there is not likely to be further falls because that would affect profitability and in the long run impact the sector as a whole, particularly when so much hinges on renewable energy to meet the many goals that India has set for itself. To reduce its carbon footprint, to raise the per capita energy consumption, to have sustainable power generation in the long term, and of course, to light up the remaining millions of homes. One thing seems certain: green energy is here to stay. The share of renewable energy in the overall power production in India has been steadily going up in the last few years. From a negligible 2% in 2003, renewable energy in 2017 accounted for a healthy 18%, according to a report from the Ministry of Power. Coal has remained steady at around 55 to 60%, while hydro has come down from 25 to 14%. Renewable energy has been making such an impact in the last few years that Bloomberg New Energy Finance predicts coal will gradually lose its importance and be a relatively minor source of power generation by 2040. The Institute of Energy Economics and Financial Analysis, based in the United States, predicts that the demand for coal will hit its peak in 2027. That should happen if, as targeted, 40% of energy will come from non-fossil based fuels by 2030. We could see a halving of reliance on fossil fuels.
You're listening to an Insight 18 special on Money Control.
Meanwhile, innovative projects are also afoot. The Kerala Electricity Board has commissioned a floating solar plant on the Banasura Sagar Reservoir near Kalpetta in Wayanad district, designed to have a peak output of 500 kilowatts. The surrounding water is expected to make the solar panels more efficient. Cochin International Airport became the first airport in the world to have a captive solar plant on its grounds, making it a green airport and one that is self-sufficient in power. The central government has a goal to add 40 gigawatt through rooftop setups and rural electrification projects that are more or less standalone and off-grid. The Rural Electrification Corporation Limited is planning to raise 1,000 crore rupees towards this. While things are quite sunny and breezy in the renewables arena, the scene is not uncompromising in its brightness. With China accounting for about 60% of all the solar panels being made globally, but facing a tapering off of local demand, India is having to deal with cheap imports. This now is affecting local manufacturers who are finding it difficult to compete with the low prices of Chinese panels. Indian manufacturers use an obsolete technology leading to inefficient solar panels. As a result of this, and also of the dumping from Chinese manufacturers, only 3 gigawatt of solar panels is being produced out of the installed manufacturing capacity of 8.8 gigawatt of panels. In 2017, there were more than 100 manufacturers, most of whom are not expected to survive the price war. There has been a demand for an anti-dumping duty on solar panels imported from China, Taiwan and Malaysia.
Red Hot for Green, India's success with renewable energy. An Insight 18 special on Money Control.
How the industry will move forward will depend on a few factors. The setting of the price of panels, increase in consumption and a consequent increase in installed capacity, timely completion of projects and seamless integration into the national grid for optimum utilization of produced power. The renewable power industry and market are surely set to influence the direction and status of the country's movement forward for quite a few years to come.
This is an Insight 18 special on Money Control.